clear skies and a low near 30. By Wednesday, sunshine, a high of 54 degrees. Thursday, a chance for rain showers, cloudy skies, and a high around 54. Friday, mostly sunny, high of 58 degrees. Then by Saturday, plenty of blue skies and sun, a high around 58. Sunday, mostly sunny, high around about 57. And Monday, sunshine, a high of 59. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujicic. Currently, it's 37.
And currently, here at the KDOM studios, we are at 40 degrees. It is 8 minutes now after 10 o'clock. Weather brought to you by Bank Midwest. It's time for Kaleidoscope, and we're going to get an update on Windham Area Health. Shelby's with us. We appreciate you coming in this morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
So, give us an update.
Well, I can give you our normal. Our board meeting actually last night was pretty uneventful just due to the fact that we do have a strategic planning session with the board coming up this week where we'll have more in-depth discussion on hospital strategies and, you know, really kind of develop and build a five-year plan on what we want to focus on and all of that. So the board meeting this month was a little bit light because of that.
But how much did COVID really mess with your strategic plan that you had in place? When, you know, through all of that, things were so up in the air about so many things. Did it restrict, your plan?
I think what it didn't really restrict us from what we planned on moving forward with as far as service lines and what we wanted to place a focus on. What it did do, however, is because of the government mandates and the, you know, shutting down of our surgery services or the closing of some of our outpatients practices for that time being when COVID was, you know, really being introduced into our state, that created, you know, probably some delays for us as far as what our financial goals were or maybe how fast we could have moved on some of our plans and strategies, such as the emergency department remodel, for instance. It delayed us a bit, but quite honestly, like I stated before, I think that we really managed through that very, very well. When we knew that some of our services were going to be temporarily shut down, you know, we were very diligent in making sure that we controlled our costs and controlled our expenses without impacting our staff or our community very minimally. So it delayed us a bit, but it really didn't impact us as gravely as what some of the tertiary hospitals or the larger urban city metropolitan hospitals are experiencing right now. Quite honestly, it seems like the rural hospitals are financially more stable with not only their services but their staffing as opposed to those larger hospitals, which is unusual.
Right.
So,
and we've talked a lot about that too, mm-hmm. that the quality of life in small town, mm-hmm. the service, the care that you can get, it all makes a difference. And maybe that's finally starting to show.
Well, I think, yes, I would agree with that. And I think one other key factor on that as well too is that, you know, rural hospitals really have to be careful on and recognize, and they do, that they can't be everything to everyone. So we want to provide as many services as we can to our community, but we have to make sure that we are able to attract the right talent and the right quality to provide safe care, because it really needs to be focused on the safety of the patient. You know, you can ruin your facility very quickly if you're trying to do too much and you don't have the talent to back it up and you have patients who suffer for that. It's really hard to rebound from a poor reputation such as that, not only within your community, but even attracting talent back to your community. So I think the key differences with that is, you know, our larger hospitals, they feel compelled to offer everything. And some service lines, for instance, I'll speak about dialysis is one that's not a revenue generating service line, but it's a necessary service line. So when you have services that are not making you money and actually costing you money, but you still have to offer it, that's where you have to supplement it with other services that do generate those revenues so that you can offer everything to your community. Well, when you have large hospitals that have to offer everything, that means they have to attract that talent as well, too. And it's much harder for them to rebound from services being closed or, you know, caring for patients for services that aren't reimbursed well. So, you know, then the services that are reimbursed, you know, they've got a they're not connecting well. So you've got more services that you still have to do that are critical services that are losing you money, and the services that generate the revenue to supplement for that were closed down. So it's hard to rebound for that. So I think that's where the main difference is that rural hospitals and communities really know what their niche is. They know what they can provide safely. They focus and isolate on that. And, you know, we have to, because we don't generate the volumes.
Sure. And it shows. Mm-hmm. I mean, what you offer, mm-hmm. you're very successful at doing. And that shows up in your numbers.
It does. And I think one thing, too, that I really believe with Wyndham and this hospital here and the communities that surround us is that, you know, we're located very, very well. We're positioned very well. We're positioned well to be able to attract market, be able to attract talent, be able to attract physicians who want to come here that are high quality. But we're also in an area where there's competition all around us. So we have to be on our game. We have to make sure that we're always striving for high quality care and efficient care. Always looking for opportunities for efficiency and you know, really monitoring and looking at the market and looking at your demographics and changing with your demographics. You know, you just have to, you know, stay on top of that. But Wyndham is, Wyndham definitely has the ability, I think we've proven that, to, you know, not have to settle. We should be able to expect high quality. We should be able to demand high quality, and we're showing that we're able to attract that. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So last month?
Last month was a very good, strong financial month. Again, we saw our inpatient volumes exceeded our budgets for the month. A lot of that we're seeing an increase in our inpatient admissions as well, too, for a variety of different reasons. One is our hospice program has proven to be successful. People have been really adapting to that well and accepting that program. So our hospice are admitting patients to our hospital more frequently. And in addition to that, as I was just speaking, some of the larger tertiary hospitals are suffering from some staffing shortages. So, you know, it used to be where, you know, COVID patients were filling up their beds and they didn't have any available beds because of the criticalness of the patients. And so we were asked to keep patients. Now we're being asked to keep patients because they're suffering from some staffing shortages. The very critical patients that we really can't care for here long term, you know, we develop strategies to where if, you know, our partner hospitals, either Sanford or Avera typically, if they're full and they can't accept these patients, we just keep calling down the line until we can find a place for that patient to go. So we've been lucky with that as well, too. But one thing that did show us also is that we can care for more critical patients than what we have been in the past. And we just need to, it's the clinical staff is dusting off their skill sets that they used to have,
right.
You know, and then haven't had to really implement those skill sets up until now. So that's where we're seeing the growth, I think, in our inpatients is from really mainly those two things. So inpatient performed very, very well, which that's always great to see. It's always nice to have patients be able to have care here at home. Our outpatients, you know, our outpatient services continue to remain strong, so they continue to exceed budgets as well, mainly in our radiology, our lab, and our therapy services really have exceeded all the numbers, so they generate a lot of that volume for us in the outpatient also.
Do you think it's based on population increase in the area, or is the word finally getting out what you offer, or what do you have any idea why those numbers are growing?
We,
besides the obvious.
Yes, we are. We are seeing where we are. We're capturing more market. We're capturing, it seems like the market that we're capturing the most is coming more from the east. So we're being able to pull that. So we're always looking at, and we do have the opportunity to look at market and, you know, where we have opportunity, and making sure that we're going out and grabbing that opportunity and pulling them and drawing them in. So we are increasing and growing in market, as well as with our outreach. You know, we have a very strong outreach, so our outreach physicians are able to, you know, bring in, because of the for example, you know, we have physicians coming from Mankato. So if they're not able, because of the tertiary hospitals not having the right staffing, they still have to care for these patients. So they're utilizing their outreach areas to pull their patients down to have these services as well too. So I think it's just a whole combination of what we can offer, what we're able to offer, but we are attracting more market as well too, and we're attracting more service lines that come with that. So,
well, it seems almost like a broken record every month that you're saying, yes, we're growing, yes, we did better than last year.
And well, let's keep that record going.
Trending the way you want it to go.
Yes, definitely. I think you know, and that's a positive thing, because we all know that there's always, with the volatile market and the industry, you know, you can have these great months, but it's not going to take much to thwart you.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure that you're able to remain healthy and can rebound from that. And when you have 1 or 2 months that do that, you know, we typically plan for that. But when you're starting to see a trend, that's when you're going to start to say, okay, we really need to then look at what are we offering, and what's the cost and what's the benefit, and having some more of those more difficult conversations. So, you know, so far we're making the right choices, and I think we're making the right decisions, and it's being accepted well. But, you know, I'm sure there's going to be times where we're going to be faced with some difficulties as well, too.
Well, it definitely sounds like the timing of the strategic planning is perfect.
It really is. It really is. A lot of things are occurring right now in the industry, and some changes there that is perfect timing. One thing this year, too, that we're going to have that I think is going to be extremely beneficial is Dr. Blue, our medical director, is also going to be able to join the strategic planning session. And that, I think, is just going to add a whole new level to this session, because we'll have not only organizational representation on what should we do as far as the operations, but we're also going to have that input from medically and clinically, you know, what's out there, what's trending, what are we not offering that we could be offering, and what talent do we need with that. So he's going to really offer this planning session just an uptick on
If I
what
didn't
we
know
can.
Better, I'd say you sound excited about this strategic
I love
planning.
Strategic planning sessions. I really do. I really do. So, yes, I'm very excited to have this. And then once we get out of that, hopefully we get out of that meeting with what we want to focus on and where we want to be in the next 5 years. I typically only go roughly 5 is what I pay attention to. We'll go out longer than that, but 5 is really where I pay attention to. But then the work begins after that. Yeah, so that'll
absolutely.
The fun will continue.
All right. What else do we need to mention this morning?
If I could, I would just like to draw up some events that we have coming up in the week, if that's okay. The Spooky Path event is October 31st up in the Wellness Center, or up at the hospital, around the Wellness Path. So that's from 3:30 to 6. So bring your little kiddos out to go through the Spooky Path. The quilt raffle tickets are still on sale. They're $5 each. The drawing will be on Monday. So if anyone still has an interest in purchasing tickets through the auxiliary for the quilt raffle, they can contact either the main lobby in the hospital or Kim Armstrong. So that will be Monday. And they are also, the auxiliary is also having a Halloween bake sale on the 31st, so Monday, from 7:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. So.
Hi. A lot going on for Halloween.
It'll be fun.
Yes.
It'll
and be fun. The weather's going to cooperate.
I hope it does.
Night.
That would be great. That
Very
would be
good.
Great.
Anything else we need to mention
nope.
this morning?
I think that'll do it.
Very good. Shelby, thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you. Have a great day.
That's our Windham Area Health Update on Kaleidoscope on KDOM.